Good morning. Lovely to be here. My mother language is Chinese, but today I'm going to read in English and in Japanese. First, English, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he has finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have not caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So next, I'm going to read in Japanese. Luke, Hukuinsho, Dai Gosho, Dai Isetsu kara Juichi Satsu made. さて、ゴン将が神の言葉を聞こうとしてイエスに押しひまって聞いたとき、イエスはゲネサレ湖の岸辺に立って、岸辺に小舟が2艘あるのをご覧になった。漁師たちは船から降りて網を洗っていった。イエスはそのうちの一つ、シモンの船に乗り、陸から少し漕ぎ出すようにお民になった。そして腰を下ろし、船から群衆を教え始められた。話を終わると、シモンと言われた。深みに腰出し、網を下ろして魚を取りなさい。するとシモンを答えた。先生、私たちは、夜通し働きましたが何一つ取れませんでした。でもお言葉ですので網を下ろしてみましょう。そしてその通りにするとおびただいし数の魚を入り紙を破れそうになった。これを見たシモン・ペテロはイエスの足元にひれ伏して言った。主よ、私から離れてください。私は罪深い人間ですから。彼も一緒にいた者たちにな、自分たちを取った魚のことを驚いたのであった。シモンの仲間のセビダイの子ヤコブや、ヨハネも同じであった。イエスはシモンに言われた。恐れることはない。今からあなたは人間を取るようになるのです。彼らは船を陸に作ると、すべてを捨ててイエスに従った。
Thank you, Grace. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me this morning. My name is Keime Suzuki. I was born in Japan, and in my 20s, I migrated to New Zealand. Thank you, Pastor Daz and Pastor Jamie and Ezra for having us today. Thank you so much. And Pastor Andrew and Virginia, thank you for getting us to be reconnected with Green Bay Church. Maybe more than 10 years ago, I came to this church a few times to preach, speak. So I know some of you, I can recognize some of you, but most of you, new people. So I want to say praise the Lord, honestly, praise the Lord. Look at this big number in this beautiful church building, and you are celebrating the 65th anniversary today. What an occasion. And thank you for giving me this wonderful and privilege to speak to you on your special occasion. So thank you so much. 9 years ago, Grace and I, Grace is Chinese, born in China. Again, in her 20s, she came to New Zealand as an immigrant, and we met at the Bible College. And 9 years ago, we went back to, we went to Japan as missionaries, and we have been serving in a church in Tokyo. That church has about 400 people, and 85% of those people are Chinese speaking, and 15%, are Japanese people. What makes this church very unique is those Japanese people in our church were brought to our church and introduced to Christ by their Chinese spouses or Chinese friends. All of those Japanese people are brought by the church by their Chinese people. Isn't it quite interesting and a bit strange? Because Chinese and the Japanese are historically enemies. You know that. Why are we enemies? Why? What's the reason we hated each other? You know, in fact, the Chinese people hated the Japanese. What reason? I cannot hear you, sir. War, exactly. Japan invaded China, attacked China. Yes? That's why still some Chinese people demand apologies from Japanese. Hey, you come to us and say sorry. And I understand that. It does make sense to me, of course. Because the Japanese are the offenders. The Chinese are the offended party. But look at our relationship between God and the people. Between God and the people, who is the offenders? We. Because we breached his trust. We broke his command. God was the offended one, but who made the first move for reconciliation? First, God. God sent his son, precious son, to us to make a peace with us. He was not sitting in heaven demanding apologies from us. Hey, you must come up and say sorry. Rather, he sent his son to us and saying, let's make peace. And have a journey together. And now, Chinese people, some Chinese, come to Tokyo. And sharing the gospel with Japanese, inviting Japanese to the church. Chinese people, the offended party, they are sharing the gospel with the offenders. That's what's happening in our Tokyo in church. So if you have any opportunity to come to Tokyo, please do contact us and visit us. Has anyone been to Japan? Yes, of course. Yes. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
fantastic. Yes, Tokyo is a great city. Yes. So please visit us. Now, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. The people were crowding. The one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him, that's Jesus, and listening to the word of God. Please do notice that the crowd was pressing around Jesus because they wanted to listen to his teaching, the word of God. What was Peter doing at the moment? What was Peter doing? Fishing? Maybe not. Peter finished fishing. Verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. In your mind, can you have a picture that a huge crowd was listening to Jesus while Peter was busy himself, washing his net, minding his business. He did not pay any attention to the crowd, what's going on out there. He was just busy washing the net. Yet Jesus saw Peter and approached him first. Not that Peter approached Jesus. Jesus approached Peter, who was minding his business. This tells us that the good shepherd approaches the lost sheep. Not the lost sheep approaches the good shepherd. The good shepherd makes the first move. Then Jesus said, let's go fishing, Peter. Because Jesus knew where the fish were at the moment. Peter could not see fish in deep water, but Jesus could. This implies that Jesus can see things which we cannot see with our own eyes. Likewise, Jesus saw what's in Peter's heart. This means Jesus approached Peter knowing so well that Peter was a sinner. That's why in verse 8, what did Peter say? Verse 8, go away from the Lord. I am a sinful man. Before, Jesus did not talk about Peter's sinful nature at all. He did not talk about it. But all of a sudden, Peter was so aware of his sinful nature. Man, I'm a sinful man, because Peter saw that Jesus could see anything, even the fish in deep water and what's down in his heart. So I'm a sinful man. And Peter said, go away. Remember, Jesus approached Peter, right? Yes. He was washing his net. And Peter said, please do not come closer to me. Go away. But what's Jesus' response to Peter, who said, go away? Verse 10, yes. Don't be afraid. Jesus did not go away. On the contrary, he assured him, you don't need to be afraid. And he even got closer to Peter. See? Jesus got closer to Peter. He said, go away, please. And Jesus even got closer to Peter. And verse 10, from now on, you will fish for people. He then welcomes Peter into his ministry team. It's like, come on, Peter, let's work together from now on. Okay. Welcoming Peter in his mission team also means that Jesus gave Peter his authority. Without Jesus' authority, Peter wouldn't be able to catch fish for people. From whom you want to get authority in life? From your company's boss? Or from the headmaster of your school? Or from the being with the highest authority in the universe you want to get authority from? Let me summarize this first point. When we are minding our own business, not paying any attention to Jesus, he approaches us, knowing so well that we are sinners. And when we get afraid of him, my goodness, Jesus knows everything about us. He knows what's going on in my heart. And we say, don't come closer to me. And Jesus even gets closer to us. And he welcomes us into his mission team and giving us his authority. The lost sheep were found by the good shepherd. That's the first point. Then the second point. To be with the shepherd, one must follow him. Verse 11. They pulled their boat up on shore, left everything and followed him. Peter and his friend followed Jesus. But what did they do before following the good shepherd? They left everything. What did Peter leave? Everything, yes. His boat, his nets, his job, his family, his stable life. Then let's see what the crowd did in chapter 4. Now we are looking at the chapter 5, right? Peter's story in chapter 5. But let's go back to the previous chapter, that's chapter 4, and see what the crowd was doing. Luke 4, verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, that's Jesus. And when they came to where he was, Jesus was, they tried to keep him, Jesus, from leaving them. Isn't it wonderful, you know, what the crowd was doing? They went out looking for Jesus. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And they made a fantastic request to Jesus. What's their request? They tried to keep Jesus from leaving them. In a sense, we love you, Jesus. I like your teaching. Do not go away. Stay here. We want to be with you. Stay here. Do not go away. Isn't that a great request? But Jesus did not grant their request. He went. He left there, saying, I have to go to some other towns. The crowd did not end up with being with Jesus. But Peter, on the contrary, he did not go out looking for Jesus. Peter was washing his net, minding his business, but Peter is the one who ended up with Jesus all the time. Crowd could not. What's the difference between the crowd and the Peter? What's the difference? Peter followed Jesus. The crowd did not follow Jesus. Crowd did not want to leave where they were. They wanted Jesus to be in their town. Is that a silly question to ask a shepherd to be in one place where you are? Because the job of the shepherd is to move from one place to another. If you want to be with a shepherd, any shepherd, not just a good shepherd, if you want to be with a shepherd all the time, what do you have to do? Follow him. You cannot ask, I love you, my shepherd, please stay here. In a sense, the crowd wanted to keep everything they owned, their family, job, boats, nets, all the occupation, everything, plus I want Jesus, I like you. But Jesus did not grant their request. It does not mean you have to leave New Zealand or Green Bay to go to a place like Japan. Grace did it 9 years ago. It's not easy for Grace to go to Japan. Absolutely not. And God does not call most of you to leave Green Bay or New Zealand to go to another place. Probably not. But I believe if you are followers of Jesus, you must have left something significant behind. You must have made a sacrifice on your part. And if you think you have left something, you are with Jesus because you are following. My point is that it's not biblical if you want to keep everything you owned and you want Jesus. Doesn't Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me. That's right. My third point, obstacles. Obstacles in following the Good Shepherd. I want to list three obstacles in following Jesus, which I can observe from today's story, Luke chapter 5. Three obstacles I can observe from this story. Number one, mind. That is our understanding from experience. That can be our obstacle. Peter was a professional fisherman. Jesus was a professional carpenter in the first. I could hear Peter almost say, Jesus, what do you know about fishing? I'm a professional fisherman. You are a competitor. I fished all night and could not catch anything. And now you want me to go fishing again during the daytime? No way, it does not make sense to me. God's plans sometimes do not make sense to us. Yes, wisdom, which we gain from our experiences of greater thing, but it's not absolute. What's absolute? God's eternal wisdom. So that's number one obstacle. That is sometimes our understanding from experience. Second obstacle in following Jesus, that's our body. In the case of Peter, that's his tiredness. Peter worked all night. The fatigue must have hit him so hard. I could almost hear Peter say, I'm so tired now. I don't want to go fishing again. Maybe for some of you, the body means maybe you think you are too old to do things for God. Or some of you, maybe I'm too young. No? But I tell you, I just want to remind you, the parents of John the Baptist, it's too late for them to have a baby. They are too old, but they followed God. God bless them. What about the parents of Jesus? Isn't it too early for them to have a baby? Yes, too early. But again, they followed God. And they were so proud. So number one obstacle, that is our body. And the third obstacle in following Jesus, that is emotions. Emotions. In the case of Peter, that is troublesome. Troublesome. What do I mean by that? Peter finished washing the nets. I could hear Peter say, I just washed my nets, Jesus. I don't want to go fishing again. I don't want to wash my nets again. You know, he just finished the job. He was ready to go home. Sometimes following Jesus, we think, that's troublesome. I don't want to do it again. That's a third obstacle. However, Peter says this in verse 5. Verse 5b, the second part, verse 5. Okay, first of all, let me read the entire verse. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Caught anything. The next word is very important. Next word. He says, but I will do as you say. Because you say, I will let down the nets. This is how we should use the word but. Then what happened to Peter? He caught a lot of fish. However, we often use the word but the other way around. When God says to do something, we say, but my mind says it does not make sense to me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or God says, you do it. We say, but I am too old to do it. Or I'm too young to do it. I'm too tired. Or God says, don't do it. Do not touch it. Then we said, but our body craves it. Our emotions say, go for it. But Luke 5 is a verse worth memorizing. But because you say so. But because you say so. Then the last point, life in which we follow Jesus. This passage from Luke 5 teaches us what kind of life we will have when we follow Jesus. Let's go to verse 6. The last part. The nets began to break. But the nets did not break. Why didn't the nets break? Because it was Jesus' plan that Peter would see his power in catching a lot of fish in a seemingly impossible situation. But the nets did not break. Then verse 7, the last part, verse 7, they began to sink, but they did not sink. Why didn't the boat sink? Who was on the boat anyway? It was Jesus. Jesus was on the boat. That's why it did not sink. It is silly that the boat with Jesus on board would sink. No way. The boat you are riding with Jesus is much safer a place than the land you are on without Jesus. Throughout our life journey, there are times when we think that our boat, the boat we are riding, is about to sink. Perhaps your business is not doing good, or your family dysfunctional sometimes, or your health, your body deteriorating. But what is important is not the size of the boat you are riding, but who is on the boat, on your boat. Are you riding a boat with Jesus on board? If so, the boat will not sink. But I also want to draw your attention to this following fact. Even the boat with Jesus on board begins to sink. Even the Jesus is on your boat, the boat may begin to sink. Sometimes you may think that, hey, Jesus is with me, but my boat is sinking. Just like what happened in Luke 5. But what's more important is, but it does not sink. Why did Peter have a life-threatening experience like this? It was precisely Peter followed Jesus. If he had not followed Jesus, he would have gone home after washing the net. And what's next? Yes, sleep, maybe breakfast. If I were Peter, I would have a breakfast. Then, sleep. No life-threatening experience. Sometimes, not because of our disobedience to God, but because of our obedience to God, we go through hard times. Because of our obedience. Let me finish my message by quoting another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We, that's you Christians, and also that's Green Bay Life Church, I would say. We are hard-pressed on every side. Sometimes you are hard-pressed. Or sometimes Green Bay Life Church is hard-pressed. But what's the next word? But you are not crushed. Green Bay Church is not crushed. And we are perplexed. I think in the last 65 years, I believe Green Bay Church was perplexed a few times. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes, struck down, but not in despair. But. Why? Because Jesus is with you. He is on the boat. Remember, this passage is for those who follow Jesus. Then next, persecuted. You are persecuted precisely because you follow Jesus and you declare his glory. among the people, you are persecuted. Green Bay Church may be persecuted. But what's the next word? But you are not abandoned. And you are struck down. But you are not destroyed. Our bolt may begin to sink, but do not sink. Our nets may begin to break, but do not break, because Jesus is with us. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord. In verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, thank you that our boat does not sink, although it may begin to sink, but does not sink because you are on board with us. Thank you, Lord, for this security, safety, assurance which we have in you. Thank you, Lord, that this community launched a boat 65 years ago. That's Green Bay Life Church. Throughout 65 years, this boat may have begun to sink, but did not.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And now moving forward, following Jesus, and we know that you are on the move. Always you are on the move because you are a shepherd. Therefore, Lord, I pray, help each one of the people here in this church and this entire church follow you, Lord. Help them fix their eyes upon their good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.